the Airbus-Boeing WTO battle heats up again. Airline pilot unions fight to keep guns in the cockpit. And aircraft owners in Maine face a taxing situation. This is Aero News for Friday, April 19, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. The fight between Airbus and Boeing over governmental subsidies to the plane makers is likely to heat up again as the World Trade Organization, the WTO, has held a hearing to review compliance by Airbus and the EU with its decision. The battle has been simmering for 9 years. In 2010 and 11, the WTO released reports that seemed to indicate that both sides had probably violated international trade law to some degree in developing aircraft over the past decade. Each side claimed victory over the other, saying their rivals' transgressions were far worse than their own and demanding that they make amends. The hearing, which was held in private on Wednesday, focused on Airbus, which is legally allowed to accept loans from its sponsor countries. Boeing, however, charged that the plane maker was receiving illegal government subsidies to develop its aircraft, including the A350 XWB, which had been outside the scope of the original complaint. Airbus says that development of its newest airliner, which it is building to compete with Boeing's Dreamliner, has been completely in compliance with the WTO's rules, according to a report from Reuters. Airbus says that its recent restructuring into what it said is a more quote-unquote normal company with less state involvement makes it a far more independent enterprise. Boeing holds that the government subsidies have not changed, and Airbus continues to benefit from them. Airbus, meanwhile, says that after the restructuring, it is, quote, as normal as Boeing, end quote, when it comes to the government-funded grants for airplane development. The hearing marked the first time the two sides had met face-to-face in this dispute. One of the cuts being made in President Obama's fiscal year 2014 budget is the complete elimination of funding for the Federal Flight Deck Officer, or FFDO, program, which puts armed pilots on board airliners. The Coalition of Airline Pilots Association is calling on its members to write to Congress in an effort to have that funding restored. On its website, CAPA says the FFDO program is, quote, undeniably the most cost-efficient airline security program to date, end quote. CAPA goes on to say, again quoting, with the TSA's recent decision to allow knives back on passenger aircraft, the FFDO program is needed now more than ever, as it represents a critical, important role in protecting passengers, crew members, cargo, and aircraft, end quote. The Southwest Airlines pilots joined the call as an individual union. In a news release, SWAPA President Mark Richards said, quote, while it is unlikely that the president's budget will be adopted as written, any attempts to defund an effective, cost-efficient program should be flatly rejected by Congress. Our union and pilots will continue to make the case that this is simply one of the best federal programs to protect passengers, pilots, and staff, and the general public from acts of terrorism, end quote. A shift in Maine tax law has aircraft owners in limbo over how much excise tax they will be asked to pay to local governments. Up until this year, the state has collected the taxes on airplanes registered in Maine and sent all but a $10 registration fee to the county or municipality that owned and maintained the airport. But the local news site, fenceviewer.com, in Hancock County, Maine, reports that the state determined that it was costing more to collect and distribute the taxes than it brought in for doing so. The legislature changed the tax code to require the local governments to collect that tax. Hancock County CFO Phil Roy told the website that the state has not offered much guidance as to how much they should charge aircraft owners, so he took matters into his own hands, making a determination that the tax should be based on the value of the aircraft. For a new aircraft, the county would assess a tax of 0.009% of the aircraft's Blue Book price. The tax would decrease on a sliding scale, with machines 5 years old or older paying a tax of just 0.003% of the value. Roy sent a letter to 91 people who the county has determined keep aircraft at Hancock County Bar Harbor Airport in Trenton, Maine. In the letter, Roy explained the tax and how it would be calculated, saying their local municipality might assess the aircraft owners a personal property tax on their aircraft if they did not pay the county excise tax. NTSB Chairman Deborah A.P. Hirschman updated the members of the Senate Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee on the status of the NTSB's Boeing 787 battery fire investigation and warned against complacency in aviation safety after one of the safest periods in U.S. commercial aviation during a hearing held Tuesday. Hirschman said that since the February 2009 Colgan Air Flight 3407 crash near Buffalo that killed 50 people, some 3 billion passengers have traveled safely on the U.S. airlines. Despite the lack of accidents in commercial aviation, Hirschman said the NTSB continues to investigate a number of incidents and accidents, notably the Japan Airlines Boeing 787 Auxiliary Power Unit lithium-ion battery fire at Boston's Logan International Airport on January the 7th. Last week, the NTSB held a 2-day forum that explored lithium-ion battery technology in transportation. And on April 23rd and 24th, the NTSB will hold an investigative hearing to focus on the design and certification of the 787's battery system. Hirschman also said that while commercial aviation has had an exemplary safety record recently, the same cannot be said for general aviation. General aviation safety is on the NTSB's most wanted list of transportation safety improvements, and the NTSB issued 5 safety alerts to pinpoint hazards and provide practical remedies. When Aero News continues, beware of things that go bump in space. NASA is looking for game-changing ideas and a final gathering of some very special eagles.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Aero News continues now for Friday, April 19th. I'm Glenn Moyer. With nearly 5,000 launches by all spacefaring nations since the start of the space age, the continuing growth in space debris poses an increasing threat to economically vital orbital regions. So next week, hundreds of top experts from across the globe will meet at Europe's largest ever debris forum to share their latest research findings and discuss potential solutions. Heiner Klinkrad, the head of the ESA's Space Debris Office, says, quote, "Space debris mitigation measures, if properly implemented by satellite designers and mission operators, can curtail the growth rate of the debris population. However, the problem is that orbiting debris can endanger operational spacecraft. So Klinkrad says active debris removal is necessary to reverse the ongoing increase in debris. The 6th European Conference on Space Debris will be held at ESOC, that's ESA's European Space Operations Center, in Darmstadt, Germany, April 22nd through the 25th. During the 4 days, the conference will present and discuss the latest results, define future directions of research, and look at active debris removal. For a second year, NASA's Space Technology Mission Directorate is seeking proposals for suborbital technology payloads and spacecraft capability enhancements that could help revolutionize future space missions. Selected technologies will travel to the edge of space and back on U.S. commercial suborbital vehicles and platforms, providing opportunities for testing before they are sent to work in the unforgiving environment of space. The Game-Changing Opportunities in Technology Development research announcement seeks proposals for technology payloads, vehicle enhancements, onboard facilities, and small spacecraft propulsion technologies that will help the agency advance technology development in the areas of exploration, space operations, and other innovative technology areas relevant to NASA's missions. Proposals are due June 17th and will be accepted from U.S. or non-U.S. organizations. NASA expects to make as many as 18 awards this summer, with the majority of the awards ranging in value between approximately $50,000 and $250,000 each. The total combined funding for this announcement is expected to be about $2 million based on the availability of funds. The four surviving members of the famous Doolittle Raiders of World War II gathered for what was called their final public reunion Wednesday at Eglin Air Force Base in Florida. Among those at the gathering was 97-year-old retired Lieutenant Colonel Richard Cole, who took the controls of a vintage B-25 bomber at the reunion, according to a report from Fox News. You may have seen the video on ABC's Evening News. Cole had been Mission Commander James Doolittle's co-pilot when 16 B-25 airplanes took off from an aircraft carrier on April the 18th, 1942. The attack on Japan came just 4 months after the Japanese had bombed Pearl Harbor. During the ceremony, Eglin officials dedicated a hangar named for surviving Raider Colonel Edward Sailor. After a plaque with his name on it was unveiled, Sailor spoke about his experiences in the military and with the historic Raiders. For the ceremony, an F-35A Lightning II and a Doolittle Raider B-25 were parked side by side in the hangar. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.